We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Duup and Mason Ginsberg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time. Welcome to In the Know. This podcast is also brought to you by Untuck It. Thank you to Untuck It for being our sponsors this week. Mason, I know it's been so long since we've last talked. I can't even imagine what you have done in all this time. But hey, we have more Pelicans content coming your way. This time, we're going to be a little bit forward-looking. Not really going to talk about what's been going on, but maybe things that might happen. We have a couple of topics that we really want to hit on, and we're just going to jump right into it. First topic that we're going to hit on is, what does this Pelicans roster slash rotation look like when everyone is finally healthy? And by everyone, I mean Zion Williamson and not Darius Miller, because he's out for the year because Achilles injury. So when Zion's back and assuming everyone else is healthy, how large of a rotation do you think Alvin's going to run, and what do you think it's going to look like?
Yeah, that is a difficult question. I think it's already a couple parts to that. One is who's in the rotation, and the second is what does that look like when we're talking about starters versus second unit and that sort of thing. And I think the first is shaking out more and more clear by the day. We could run down the mainstays first. I mean, we've obviously got Drew, Brandon Ingram, Derek Favors. I mean, I really think that those three guys are starting in any scenario. Zion Williamson, when he's healthy, is starting. So you've got four that I think you've got four of your five starters locked. As far as the next set of players, I'm not going to name a fifth starter. I think we can kind of, I'd be curious to get your thoughts around that. So I'll kind of leave that fifth spot open. But as far as the rest of the rotation, you've got Lonzo Ball in there. You've got Josh Hart is definitely in there the way he's played so far this year. So that's six. JJ Redick I mean, that's clear. As long as he's on this team, he's in the rotation. So that's seven. Kenrich Williams has to be in there. That's eight. And then things start getting a little more tricky, I'd say. There's the Etuan Moore. There is Frank Jackson. There is Nikhil Alexander-Walker. There is Okafor. There is there's Jackson Hayes. So there's a bunch of these guys.
There's Melly.
Yeah, there's Melly. I based on what I've seen so far this year, I've almost kind of written him off as a guy who's going to get regular rotation minutes at full strength. But I mean, there's all these guys after those. I think those. So I named eight that I felt pretty comfortable about, with Kenrich Williams being that eighth guy. As far as I think I need to see more before I tell you who the ninth. I think it is a nine-man rotation, maybe 10 regularly. I need to see a little bit more before I feel good about ninth and tenth guy. I really feel like Jackson Hayes is doing enough to supplant Ja, but also I don't know if the team needs a true backup center in every game they play. But he is my, I mean, he's, I think he's number nine for me at this point. And then if I had to pick a 10th guy, it's, I'd rather see Nikhil Alexander-Walker play than like Etuan Moore or Frank Jackson. Again, that goes pretty guard heavy. So, I think I need to see a little bit more from the rest of the team before I make a call on that for sure. So I've talked a lot. Your turn.
Well, before I get into my whole thing, and I already kind of touched upon this in the last podcast, but how much do you think there is weight to this idea that Drew and JJ are really forming chemistry together and they're really finding a rhythm together? So do you think when Lonzo is healthy, it's worth disrupting that rhythm by pushing JJ back to the bench?
Nope, not at all. I think you stick with what works, and that's not to say that I think that Lonzo should get less minutes than he was getting before. I just think they should structure his minutes differently, and I would keep JJ in the starting lineup.
I also agree. I also think pushing Lonzo to the bench gives them a necessary creator. I think on the bench it's been, hey, Nikhil, go do this. And Nikhil has his moments, but he also has his very clear and painful rookie moments where you're like, dude, what are you doing? And so to someone to sort of settle that presence and be able to create, I think will provide a lot of value. And I think it also gives the Pelicans a little more size on the wing / guard on the perimeter, in because Lonzo would automatically be the biggest person. I think he's bigger than Hart. Even though Hart plays bigger, he would automatically be the biggest perimeter defender they have there. I think I would like the bench rotation to be Lonzo. I would say Nikhil, because he gives you more things when his shot isn't falling over Frank. That's going to upset the Frank fans. I'm sorry. And then I would have Hart at the three. I would definitely play Jackson Hayes. I think he has supplanted Jahlil Okafor. I think, barring injury, Okafor shouldn't get minutes. Or barring like a very specific matchup.
Yeah,
I
agree.
The defensive drop-off, if there even is one, I mean, I think Hayes is probably already a better defender than Okafor. But maybe he isn't. The defensive drop-off is marginal. The offensive value produced is marginal. The value really is in Jackson getting basketball reps against real NBA players. I think that's huge going forward. Giving him 10 to 15 a night from the bench just to provide energy. But also, that's another reason why I like having Lonzo on the bench, is someone just to throw lobs to Jackson, to find him on cuts and dives and in transition, where I never want to see Etuan Moore throwing a pass ever again. I think Nikhil gets ambitious on his passes and telegraphs them too much, and everyone else doesn't really know how to pass on the bench. So having Lonzo there to settle that and create looks off of just havoc, because I think what's going to happen is, you know, Kenrich is going to grab a lot of rebounds, push the pace. Lonzo's going to grab a lot of rebounds. It's going to be a very athletic and scrappy bench unit, and they're also going to shoot a lot of threes. Hart doesn't hesitate when shooting threes. Nikhil obviously doesn't hesitate. And Frank's getting those minutes. He's not going to hesitate. He's going to put up shots. Lonzo should have the freedom to jack as many threes as he wants on the bench. I think that's less destructive in that context than it is in the starting lineup when there's higher value possessions to be had with a lot of very good offensive players like Zion or Ingram or JJ or Drew or whatever. So I think that kind of rounds out that. I don't think Melly or Oak should get many minutes barring injury. I think what they're probably going to do is play Melly more when Zion's back, because it gives someone to space the floor for Zion. And I think in preseason you had those Zion plus four shooters bench stretches. It was just a lot of fun, and it was pure dominance for Zion. So they might look to replicate some of that while not sacrificing rebounding. I think you can get away with just playing Kendrick at the five at that point. I think if you're going to do that, you might as well just play a guy who gives you other things than what Melly gives you and have more of a switchy lineup. But I think if this team were to make the playoffs, they probably don't run deeper than nine. And those edge case guys that we talked about, I think even Jackson gets cut out of the rotation there. And I think at that point, Nikhil might get cut out of the rotation as well.
Yep.
And so at that point, you're running like 7-8 deep in the playoffs, and those guys are just really honing in together. There's a lot of weird people at center lineup, so Zion or Kenrich or Ingram or whatever, but you're going to see a lot of that. So that's my thought on the rotation going forward.
Yeah, and I kind of like – and this is always a weird thing that we talk about that really doesn't matter as much as we probably would let it, but the – And what I'm going to say is around like the bench start five. Like, we're not going to – there are very rare cases we're going to see that second unit play together as a second unit, right? There's going to be mixing and matching of starters and reserves. Like, maybe we'll have 2 minutes per half where the backup five play together. But, I mean, I do like that group together, the Lonzo, Nikhil, Hart, Kenrich, and Jackson Hayes. Because when you're talking about backups, playing against backups, I'm not nearly as concerned about the opposing wings we're dealing with, and you've got enough size there. I mean, I think Lonzo can guard three positions from a second on against backups. There are a lot of people who would argue he could do it against starters. He hasn't shown it yet this year, but I know that the talent is there. I think that works well. You have Hart and Lonzo guarding on the wings, and you have Na guarding at the point of attack. And we obviously know Kenrich and Jackson are both good. Jackson's obviously young. We talked about it earlier this week about his defensive progress in the last few games. But the thought is there with him and Kenrich being defensive mainstays on the and also both guys who can bring down rebounds. And so the group makes a lot of sense. And I think it's a malleable group that can fit in nicely with different starting lineup combinations. Now we just got to stay healthy. That'd be fun.
Well, I think the biggest thing for me on that unit, that lineup, is you finally have a bench that doesn't hemorrhage offensive rebounds to the opponents. And one, because the Pelicans have been forced to play small because they have a lot of guards and a lot of their bigs have been injured. But, you know, you're looking at lineups with like Etwan at the four or Josh Hart at the four, which is just not a good recipe for success when it comes to rebounding. But if you have a lineup of Lonzo, Nikhil, Hart, Kendrick Jackson, they're all above average rebounders for their position. Except for, you know, maybe Jackson, he's not an above average rebounder for his position, but he's fine. You know, he grabs rebounds because he's big and tall. And Nikhil, like, you know, he grabs boards, he mixes it up for his size. So like, you're really not creating a situation where you're like, man, I got 4 6'4" dudes on the floor and one big guy. And you're like, why do we keep giving up offensive rebounds? Why don't they coach them harder? It's like, no, these guys are just tiny and they're bad rebounders to begin with. Because like Frank Jackson, we've already established, isn't a good rebounder. Etwan Moore has never been a good rebounder. And when you're playing lineups with four of those guys, it's a recipe for disaster. So now when you start mixing in the starters, again, the only rebounding liability you have in that group of 9 to 10 guys is JJ Redick. That's it. That's your only rebounding liability you have. And I think if you can create a situation where that is your only rebounding liability, you are going to be a fine defensive team just on that merit. You're not going to be fantastic, but I think rebounding is a necessary component of being a good defense. And if JJ Redick is your worst rebounder that's in your rotation, you're fine.
Yeah, and that's wild too, to say that everyone except for maybe Redick is a plus rebounder, because I don't think even this summer we would have said that about Ingram, do you? I mean, what the strides he's made there is pretty impressive.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think it's an effort thing, and they know that they have to go get it and terminate these possessions. And I'm just looking forward to the day where we're not playing three or four guys that just can't rebound. That's just something to look forward to. And having guys like Kenrich like really sets the tone there. Really sets the tone. So
the holidays are almost here, and you know what that means? Gifts. What better gift to give the guy in your life than a stylish shirt that fits just right? Unlike most brands, Untuckit shirts are actually designed to be worn untucked. Untuckit shirts always fall at that just right length, no matter his size. It truly looks casual and sharp. You ever had that experience where you're leaning back and stretching, and all of a sudden you look at your sleeve and you notice, yep, the elbow's ripped? Well, I got good news for you, because with more than 50 plus fit combinations, Untuckit shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages, and they fit right too. So whether you're shopping for the perfect holiday gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuckit is the way to go. Visit untuckit.com and use code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's untuckit.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off.
I think we touched upon this, and this is going to be our second question of the podcast, is the Pelicans aren't too far out from the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They're a couple games behind the 8th seed, and it's a long season. They figure to get guys back. Now, they're coming up on a rough schedule stretch. They're going to play both LA teams. They're going to play Milwaukee. They're going to play Philly. They're going to play some good teams in the near future. But the back half of the Pelicans schedule is considerably easier. And again, they're going to get healthy. They're going to get more reps playing together. And if they could kind of stay afloat heading, you know, into January, the pathway isn't unviable, because at the bottom of the West, no one's really separating themselves. You know, you have the Lakers and Houston at the top, but right now you have the Suns at the 8th seed, and they're one game above 500. That may change by the time this podcast comes out. But again, Dallas is 8-5 at the 5 seed, the three games above 500. There's not much separation. So do you think it's likely this team can make a push? And is that a focus they should continue to have?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of factors at play here. One is obviously Zion Williamson and what his injury timetable is. It hasn't changed materially from what they originally expected. It sounds like
you mean Pelicans wave isn't right about when he's coming back.
beautiful. It sounds like he might be a little longer than the original timetable.
From what I gather, it's not longer than the original timetable. He's on track.
The back end, just the back end.
It's the back end, and that's for precautionary reasons, because they want to correct any like mechanical issues that he may have that can possibly lead to future stuff.
Yep, makes total sense, and that's the type of preventative care that we should come to expect and appreciate from this new leadership on the medical side. So, so there's that. And there's also the context is the rest of the teams around them. So in a vacuum, the Pelicans are 2.5 games out. Sounds great, all things considered. And the team that's the eighth seed is who they're playing, and they're playing this week. The trick then is figuring out of the teams in that giant cluster, there are five of them within a half game or so of each other. You've got Memphis, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Portland, and New Orleans. Which of those teams are going to make a push? Which of the teams above them are pretenders? I mean, because I think we feel the top six or the top five So five of the top six, I'll say, are teams that we expected to be in the playoffs before the season. Dallas is a team we had as a fringe team that Luka looks amazing, and I don't see them falling out of the picture. So let's call those six teams in. If you want to call me premature on the Mavericks prediction, fine. But I think what we've seen from Luka is enough to say that I would be surprised if this team misses the playoffs. So you got two spots left. Minnesota and Phoenix at 7 and 8. I just got to see more. Towns looks great. I don't know. I'm not there yet. Long story short is, I think that those last two seeds are still very gettable. I don't see a team here that I'm convinced is going to make the playoffs that even is even out of the race that is are the teams that are out right now. I mean, the Spurs have looked really bad recently. The Thunder,
they just lost to the Wizards.
The Thunder, I'm a little higher on than maybe others were at the start of the season. They haven't been as good as I thought they'd be. I thought they'd be they're two games away from 500. I kind of thought they'd hover around 500, but so it hasn't been that much worse. And I think they've been on the unluckier side of things from a point differential perspective, similarly to New Orleans. But they're a team I won't rule out, but also don't think they're anywhere near a lock to make the playoffs. Portland has not been good. They finally, after years, not to say that we were rooting for this because no one was, but they've been the healthiest team in the league for years, it seems like. And now that they've had a bunch of injuries hit them at once, and they're struggling. So, I mean, there's really it's a race to get those last two seeds, I think. So we'll see. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to rule the Pelicans out.
I don't either. I think the Pelicans should continue to play as if they're competing for the playoffs. And what I mean by that is just don't blatantly turn this into a developmental season where Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Jackson Hayes are suddenly getting 25 minutes a night unless they're really that good. I think the Pelicans should continue to tighten the rotations and really look to win these games. And I think people will probably disagree with that in the sense of like, oh, well, what about better draft picks? Or, oh, what about developing players? I'm like, I think you can still develop the players as we are seeing currently. Hayes is getting reps. Nikhil's getting reps. All the other young guys are getting reps. I think you can do that while still aiming towards a franchise that's trying to build sustainable success. And the Pelicans should absolutely strive for the playoffs.
Yeah. Is there a team that you see? Well, I'll ask. I mean, put the Pelicans to the side for a second. What's the team 7th seed through 14th? I'm not even – the Warriors are so blatantly just mailing in the season already that I'm not even going to talk about them. What team between 7 and 14 besides the Pelicans are you looking at and saying, I really think this team's going to make the playoffs? What's the one you're most worried about?
I can't. I really can't.
Dude, that's where I'm at too.
I hate them. I hate them all. I mean, the Kings are the Kings, which – you know, maybe they take a leap when they get a little bit healthier. If they started off terribly, they've been better now. I just don't know if there's anyone you can trust on that team except for Buddy, because I love Buddy. Mm-hmm. The Spurs suck.
The Fox injury is tough.
Yeah. But they've been winning without Fox.
Yeah.
So it's like, where does that leave them? I don't know. Yeah. The Spurs just suck. And I think that's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Every year we've looked at the roster and been like, this roster sucks. They shouldn't win. And they won.
And it's wild, right? Because they have two guys who got hurt early in the season last year, Derek White and Dejounte Murray. And there was every reason to think this team would be at least as good as last year. I mean, I know there's some older guys that are a year older, but I don't know. This is surprising to me. Not to you?
I think what it means is Pop is a bad coach and they should fire him. And the Pelicans should hire him because Pelicans love bad coaches. I don't know. Internet logic. I'm not high on OKC at all. I don't think they're going to be a threat. I'll be surprised if Gallinari and Chris Paul make it through the season without getting traded. I think one of them is at least gone. Maybe Steven Adams is gone too, because there really isn't a tremendous big man market. You look at that and really it's Portland and you're like, okay, the reason we're buying into you is because year after year, Lillard has carried you to the playoffs. And you make this ridiculous run every single year after the All-Star break. You'll be middling to 500 up until All-Star, and then you'll go 21-6 the rest of the way. And everyone will be like, oh, who doubted the Blazers who made the Western Conference Finals last year? And, I mean, that's it. That's the only one. Minnesota, I mean, it's, I guess if Wiggins keeps playing the way he's playing.
Wait, hold on. Oh, that just hit me. The Blazers played the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals last year?
Yeah.
Ha! And they're at the bottom. That's so crazy, man.
Yeah. The conference finalists are the two worst teams in the West right now.
Oh, my God. That's nuts. Yeah, are you buying Dallas like I am as a playoff team pretty confidently?
I buy them because Luka is very good and they have really good role players. I don't buy Porzingis.
Yeah, he's a role player. Who just got a max contract.
I think they're just a solid team and they're well coached and Luka is absurd. Mm-hmm. I think it's Luka has that it factor like Harden where he does so many things, scoring and creation and rebounding, where other guys really don't have to do too much. They just have to hit timely shots and play defense, and that's going to be a good team. He just raises the floor of your team because of his skill.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to answer the same question I just asked you on these teams, and
I think Utah is going to get better. I don't expect them to be this bad. I think if Gobert goes down,
I'm looping them into the six teams that I think are playoff locks.
Yeah, but I mean, of the five above them, I expect them to be the worst. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Gobert hasn't been the healthiest year after year. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he played 81 games last year. What am I talking about? He played 56 the year before. So I don't know. I really do think if Gobert goes down, they're screwed. I think if Mitchell goes down, they're screwed. But I think all in all, Utah is probably going to be a solid team. They'll win 45 through 52 games around there, and they'll be fine. Yeah, but the other teams, there's no way the Pelicans should look at Phoenix and Minnesota and be like, oh, they're playoff teams. We can't be like, screw that.
I really do. I mean, the more I look at Phoenix, the more I like the players they put together in the sense that they're the one team I see where a bunch of guys could just take the leap at the exact same time. And now that they've had a coaching change, and this is not me saying that Monty Williams is the best coach in the league, but I mean, he's a clear upgrade from the shit show they've been dealing with historically. And I could see their leadership making a panic move just to make the playoffs. I think I mentioned this to you already. I could see them. They've been so bad for so long. I could see them being a buyer at the trade deadline if they're even remotely close to the playoffs and doing something stupid and short-sighted because they've been so bad and just never made the playoffs in years. And so
I see that. I don't believe Aaron Baines is going to shoot 44% on threes the whole season, you know? I think Rubio is going to be Rubio. Booker is going to be Booker. And I don't know, man. I look at that roster and like this roster shouldn't be a winning roster.
It really shouldn't. No, I mean, they're short staffed. And I mean, if they have injuries,
they have,
you said it, so just like Utah, they're going to be meh.
Baines, Booker, Johnson, Rubio, Oubre. Five, I would say, NBA players that are like, okay. And then Saric, he's fine. He has his nights. And then the rest, I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see how they turn out. I'm still calling Pels for the playoffs. They're going to make it.
Like it.
I'm going to sit on that.
Yeah, I can't push back on you too strongly. Just because the team is – they're hanging around a bunch of other mediocre-ass teams with similar records, and they've been pretty unhealthy. Not to say other teams haven't. Haven't also been unhealthy, but I think the point here is that they're very much not out of this. When, like, a couple games ago you said, oh, this team's at the bottom of the conference, and there's just no pack it in. I think that was anyone who said that, it was a rush to a premature judgment. And not to say they'll make it, but I think they got just as good of a chance as all the other teams that are sitting right there with them.
If not, I will always have excellent draft content ready to go at you as early as you want in the season, because we are on the Anthony Edwards train this year. And that guy,
you've already gotten off the LaMelo Ball, pair him with his brother train. Is that because you're shipping out Lonzo too?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's less about that. It's more about Anthony Edwards is just a baller, and he's going to be the best player in this draft. No, I mean, it's impossible to predict the future. He's going to be my favorite player in this draft if he keeps playing the way he's playing.
Well, let's hope that it doesn't come to that.
Or it does. And he's really good. And he ends up with Zion. We don't care. It'll be fine.
And we get the Cleveland pick if they keep being not terrible, even though
it's a good draft.
Yeah.
It'll be a good draft. Anywho, enough draft talk. Playoffs. Thanks for listening.